Okay. So we are now up to the third verse of Lecha Dodi. And like everything we learned together, as you know, we're going through Makorot, probable Makorot, and so forth. And I'm treating it like I treat every other text, you know, with trying to really find sources, analyzing it as deeply and as carefully as I can. And one of the fascinating things is, even though it's written by one of the greatest Kabbalists of all time, it's exceptionally accessible. Okay? So we're starting again with a third verse, which is found with the numbers 11 and 12, and it starts with Mikdash Melech Ir Melucha. Okay? So I'm going to help you guys out and give you some information about each of the sections in the psukim and so forth. So if you're going to look at verse 3, so you're going to want to focus on the idea of the city of Yerushalayim in a messianic vision. Okay? That's the primary idea of verse 3. When we get into verse 4, it's a messianic hope and vision for Klal Yisrael. And the mediating influence within that is Mashiach. That's verse 4. Verse 5 is a fascinating pasuk. It's talking, again, messianic theme. It's talking about or, right? If you look on line 20, it says, Kiva Orech, right? Your light is coming. So, of course, this is the idea of what? Or Chadash Al Tzion Te'ir, as we're familiar with from other sources. So, again, this is all the idea of messianic redemption. Okay? And then also, if you look in 22, you have the word, this is all just by way of intro. Then in 22, you've got the word Alayich Nigla. So, upon what is Hashem going to be resting his kavod? On Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, of course, is representative of all of Tzion. And why? Well, everybody knows that. Ki Metzion, Tetzei Torah, and so forth. When we get to verse 6, once again, we're talking about Yerushalayim. And I should say, in terms of big themes, all by the way of introduction, the word Am or Ami comes up 3 times. So it's not just the redemption of place, it's a redemption of a people. This is all, you know, and if you think that many people think about this when they're saying Lecha Dodi, your answer, of course, is a rousing no. But now you will, because, you know, if I do my job halfway decently. Okay? You come to verse 7. Verse 7 is the only one of the verses we're going to be looking at tonight that Yirmiyahu plays a role. Everything else is going to be Yeshayahu. Everything. Okay? Yirmiyahu doesn't usually have all that many nice things to say, but we're going to see that basically he's going to teach us in a messianic sense that those people who have treated us in a horrible way, they themselves will pay the cost for what they thought having been, quote-unquote, the boss. All right, just to borrow a line from a famous blues song. Okay, and again, we're going to be seeing very beautiful ideas from Yeshayahu in 29 and 30, those lines. Okay, the famous line of Yasis Alayach Elokaya, Kimsod Chatan Akala. Talk about what that means. We go to verse 8. Verse 8 is almost entirely Mashiach. Entirely Mashiach. Anyone want to guess why I would say that? Any part of that familiar to you? How about Al Yad Ish Ben Partsi? Right? Right? It's fascinating how Mashiach comes about. Right? You realize you're going back to Lot and his daughters. Right? As a friend, as a former chavrus of mine once said, what a shena mishpacha. Okay? Okay? So if you realize where Mashiach ultimately goes back to, and if that wasn't good enough, you always have, you know, Yehuda and Tamar, which was another confusing situation, to put it mildly, right? But what does that tell you? What's it tell you? I mean, think about Mashiach. What's it tell you? In other words, you never know from whence redemption is to come. And it also teaches us a key idea. There isn't a single Jew that we can ever discard and turn our noses up. Oh, they're not from, or they're not from like me, or what have you.
Okay? Will be left behind.
Exactly. No neshama will be left behind. That, you know, instead of the old line that was in the public school system, no child left behind, Judaism has said since time immemorial, no neshama left behind. You never know. Okay? And then, of course, the last verse, verse 9, which hopefully we'll get to tonight, this is the idea of Bo'i Kala, Bo'i Kala. For those of you who were here last week, if you recall in my introduction, those are actually the exact words of Rabbi Yanai, in Shabbat, Daf Kuf Yutet Amud Aleph, where that's what he said. And then Rav Shlomo Alkibatz took that. Also, in the midst of the last verse, you have the idea of Am HaNivchar, something we've spoken about extensively throughout our learning together, found in the words Am Segula. Okay, and Am Segula, of course, is introductory to the Aseret HaDibrot in Sefer Vayikra. Sefer Shemot in Parshat Yitro. Okay? All right, with that in mind, all by way of intro, okay, what I'd ask you to do is this. It'll probably be easiest for you. Keep l'chadodi, whether you're a righty or a lefty, whichever way you want to do it, but keep l'chadodi available, and then keep my source sheet of psukim available too. So, which, in other words, whatever you want to focus on as the primary, gegezent to hate, do that, but make sure you be able to see both. All right, so here we go. We'll start with the third verse. So, Mikdash Melech, right, the city of the king, the sanctuary of the king, because what is the phrase we're using? Mikdash. Okay, so it's not just the Ir HaMelech, right? Even though we're going to use that expression, aren't we? We're going to use the expression of Ir Melucha. But we first start, even before we get to Ir Melucha, the city of your kingship, how do we refer to Yerushalayim? As Mikdash Melech. It's the sanctuary of the king. Okay, again, representative of the idea, Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah, all right? It's that idea. But the focus is that Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, no matter what the UN might want us to believe, is not just another city. It's not just another city. It's the city where David HaMelech was composing poetry when Europe was still wearing animal skins. Think about that. Just think about that. It's an amazing idea. So it's Mikdash Melech. It's the city and the sanctuary of the king. Ir Melucha. It's the royal city. And now we have a real change here. We've gone from in verse 2 talking about Shabbat, right? Sof Maaseh B'machshava Techila, right? Which is talking about Shabbat and its origins. Now we're switching. We're going from the sublime to a little bit more practical, but seeing the sublime aspect of that which is practical. It's a city, but not just a city. It's the Mikdash. It's the city of the king. The city of the king being Kodesh Baruch Hu. And what is Rav Shlomo Alkibatz saying to the city? Kumi, arise. Tzi'i, go. Mitoch ha'afecha, from out of the destruction. Yes, we know about Bayit Rishon. We know about Bayit Sheni. We know about Beitar. And every one of us here, of course, can identify very clearly and very, very poignantly with tears in our eyes that never stop with the Shoah and all the other destructions in Jewish history. but the time has come. Kumi, arise, Tsi, go away. Leave, Mitocha Hafecha, leave the destruction behind. The Mashiach is coming. Okay, what a beautiful, beautiful idea. Okay? It says Rav Shlomo Halkabetz, Rav Lach Shevet Be'emek HaBacha. Okay, it's such a, what an incredible phrase. For too long, have you, in a sense, been ensconced? Have you been sitting Be'emek HaBacha, in the valley, wallowing in the valley of tears? The time has come. Get out of there. Okay? And, you know, what's the old, almost in a sense, I hear Herzl's famous expression, right? Im tirtze ein zu agada. Okay? Now, Herzl, without having really almost any Jewish education at all, okay, was able to formulate such an idea. It doesn't have to be an agadah. It doesn't have to be just agadah. There is being used like a dream, okay? And what did Herzl himself say shortly before his death? He said, in 25 years, certainly in 50 years, there's going to be a nation of Israel. Okay, he was off by 2 years in terms of his actual counting, but he was only off by 2 years. It's an amazing idea. So Rav Lach Shevet Be'emek HaBacha, for too long have you been wallowing, I like the good word, I like that word, better than sitting or something, right? In the valley of tears, the time has come. Steel yourself, rise, V'hu Yachmol Alayich, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have pity upon you. Chemla. Now, it's as if, and again, chemla is pity. So he's going, so the regular actual translation, he will have pity upon you, okay, in great compassion. Chemla really doesn't mean compassion, it means in pity. So the English comes out very awkward. He will have pity upon you in pity. So it's really, you know what it is? I learned it like this. It's as if, not just it says chemla, it's as if it said bechemla. He will have pity with you that's going to be so great that in the demonstration of that pity, it's going to show this amazing sense of chen v'chesed v'rachamim. That's how I learned pshat. Okay? I think that's really what it means. Okay, any questions so far? Did I go too fast or is that okay? All right. Now, all the way to the end, 4, 5, 6, all the way through 9, we enter the wonderful world of psukim. I had a sense when I was preparing this year that if I were to look up some of the key words in the beginning of each one of the verses, that I might be able to find something in Tanakh. Baruch Hashem. I did it. So, in other words, I promise you, Hashem's my witness, I didn't take out an art scroll and start looking in the footnotes. I did it the other way. I did the heavy lifting, and I said, okay, we have this word, hitna'ari. Where is that from? Or is it from anywhere? Maybe it's not. Let's find out. So it turns out, and that's the first thing. That's why I told you to keep this sheet available. If you look on your left, or you're right, depending on whether you're left or you're righty. And you look at the very first verse. It says, Yashiyahu Perek Nun Bet. So that's 52. All right, Pasuk Bet. And look what it says. Hit Na'ari Me'afar Kumi Shevi Yerushalayim. So obviously, Hit Na'ari Me'afar Kumi sounds awfully familiar. Why? Because that's the first three words. These are the first three words of verse 4. And what does that mean? So, thanks to the good people from the Judaica Press, Complete Tanakh, that's where these translations always come from, and the good people of Lubavitch, who make it available to the world for free, which is no small feat. It's really very, very wonderful of them to share. Okay? So it means, Hitna'ari means what? Shake yourselves! Right? In other words,
Snap out of it.
Snap out of it. It's continuing the theme of what? Of Kumi. Right? Kumi comes up a number of times. Two times. Okay? Am or Ami comes up three times. So, Hitnari me afar Kumi. That's the part I want to focus on. Shake yourselves from the dust. Arise. Okay? And if you read the rest of the pasuk, it's actually very fascinating. Shavi Yerushalayim. Okay? Yerushalayim obviously being treated in the feminine. Shvi. What do you say to a guy? Shev. Right? And Shvi, by the way, I'm trying to remember what they call it in grammar. When it's an imperative. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. It's an imperative. Right? You demand. Okay? And that's what Kumi is also. Okay? So I think, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, I think pretty much, going back to the Chumash, when Yaakov, who's pretending to be Esav, says to his father, stand up, he doesn't say to him, kumi, or anything, which would be imperative. What does he say to him? He says, kumna. So what does Yaakov right away, Yitzchak right away say? Something's not right here. It's not how Esav speaks to me. So he says to him, who are you? And he goes, Anochi, Esav Bechorecha. I am me. Esav is your firstborn. That's how Rashi learns Pshat. But the point is, Kumavi, you know, get up. It's not an imperative, but Kumnavi, please get up. Okay, at any rate, the idea here is, if you look in the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Hidnari Miafar Kumi, shake yourself up from the dust. Kumi, get up. Shavi Yerushalayim, and then sit down. Sit down like what? I don't understand. This is the ultimate Jewish comedian here. Kumi Shvi. Kumi Shvi. Right? I don't understand. Up, down, what do you want me to do? Right? It's more than that. Kumi, first of all, arise and then sit like the queen that you are. Shvi Yerushalayim. Hit patchi mosre tzavarech, and remove the bands around your neck. When we were down in Charleston, we actually saw the irons that went around the slaves' necks and the irons that went around the slaves' legs and so on and so forth. So that's a vision that's crystal clear in my eyes. Okay? So and then it says, Shviya Bat Zion, a captive daughter of Zion. In other words, it's going to be completely different. So now we go back to Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, Hitnari Me'afar Kumi. And it continues. He then, right, builds on what Yeshayahu started, which is what? Livshi Bigdei Tifartech. Okay? And now, it's very, 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 very fascinating. You would have thought, again, we're talking about just Yerushalayim. But look at the theme that's now introduced. Ami. So, in a sense, the imperative feminine form here is, it's building on Yerushalayim, but it's talking here about the Jewish people. I don't understand. It's talking about the Jewish people in the feminine? Okay, so tell me the greatest moment in human history when the Jewish people were like the feminine. Anyone want to suggest it? Give you a sense. Naaseh v'nishma. Of course, what am I talking about?
Getting the Torah.
Who was the chatan? Kadosh Baruch Hu. What was the tabat?
The Torah.
And who was the bride? The Jewish people. That's a beautiful idea. You don't have to be a Ferbrente Kabbalist or Hasidic Rebbe to appreciate that. It's a beautiful idea. So, Livshi, Bigdei Tifartech Ami, okay? That dress in clothes of splendor, my people, okay? And just think what a message this is throughout the darkest days of all. I mean, I remember hearing stories. I forget which Hasidic group it was, but they went to the Einschlagplatz Erev Shabbos, the gathering point where the Nazi Yimach Shemam forced them onto the trains, and it was Erev Shabbat. So what did they do on the cattle car? What did they do on the cattle car? They sang and they danced Lecha Dodi. Now, I promise you this is not a Baba Maisa. I can try, if you're really interested, I'll find you the source. But it's true. I don't remember if it was Ger, Baba, I don't remember the group, I apologize. But it's a true story. Because you know what? Nothing was going to keep the Shabbat from piercing the darkness of their lives. What an unbelievable thing. Talk about heroes of the spirit, right? And that's what's being described here by Rav Shlomo Alkovetz. And they sang, they danced. Of course, what did they sing? Lecha Dodi. And so on and so forth. So how's this all going to happen? How's this going to happen for the entire Jewish people? The answer is clear. Ayidei ben Yishai, Beit Halachmi. Through the son of Yishai. And of course, David ben Yishai Avdecha, right? Okay, but through one of the heirs of David HaMelech, right, will of course be the Mashiach, and that's what's being referenced when it says Beit HaLachmi, from Beit Lechem, because those of you familiar with Shmuel Aleph a little bit, and even Shmuel Bet, you know that David originally was in Beit Lechem, and so forth. Okay? Now, it gets very personal. So far, we were talking about Ami. The cloud. But now look what we turn to. Karva el nafshi ga'ala. Redemption draws close to my soul. So look at the themes. And again, unless you're willing to do the hard work to learn this and to study it and to treat it with seriousness, you can just run through it and whatever, you know, the Mordechai ben David song of the day is, or whoever it might be, that's how you're going to sing Lecha Dodi. You're not going to think about it. Okay, yes, that has value. Don't let me tell you it doesn't. It has value. But you're not going to cognitively apply your abilities. Now you're doing it. So look what we've talked about. We've talked about the Shabbat itself. We've talked about the holiness of Yerushalayim. We've talked about Mashiach. We've talked about the Am. And now, let's always remember the reality. What do we remember the most always?
What happens to us?
What happens to me? Because as the Gemara says, Adam Karov La'atzmo. Okay? It's true. I care about you. You care about me. Push comes to shove. Right? Whose life do you save? Yours or someone else's? Depends. If you're a mother, you might want to save your kid. Mothers do that kind of thing. Okay, but barring that, because mother-child, you know, that's like, that's beyond what you might call the rational. That's into a different realm of complete, total, absolute, unmitigated love and affection. Okay, but if you talk about, you know, two people are in a rowboat and, you know, there's one life jacket, you're going to go for that life jacket, right? Right. That's reality. So here we are, talking about the individual. Karva el nafshi ga'ala.
You cover your mouth first and then your tiles.
Well, that's right. Right, but what do they always tell you? What do they always tell you on the airplane? Right? Start breathing first, then help someone else. Okay? So now the next theme is the individual theme. That I personally am going to be redeemed. You know what? Because you can hear, and this is where the Jewish comedians get it from. You can hear the Jewish comedian saying, no, isn't it magnificent that the people are going to be redeemed? What about me? Mm-hmm. That's the, you know, because people do think this way. Let's be honest.
They don't personalize it.
If you don't personalize it, one ear, out the other. So look at all these beautiful themes in Lecha Dodi. All right, next. Hit Orari. So that's a giveaway. If you go to the next Makor that I have on the paper, Yeshayahu Perek Nun Aleph Yud Zayin. And you'll notice that it's not necessarily in order at all, because the first part of Yeshayahu is what? Nun Bet. Now we're going back to Perek Nun Aleph. Look at this beautiful idea. Hitori, Kumi Yerushalayim. So obviously, what are we going back to? Yerushalayim. Okay? And again, the translation, awaken, awaken, arise, Jerusalem. Okay? Now, basically, this is a Yeshayahu. The rest of the Pasuk, it sounds like it's Yirmiyahu. Right? Listen, you already got your comeuppance. You already got zapped. It's already been miserable. Okay? Even though, by the way, Yeshayahu is talking about the future, because Yeshayahu is about the 8th century BCE, and you don't have a destruction until 300 years later. Remember, as you go towards zero, the numbers get smaller. So you're going from like the 700s in BCE, you're going to 586. Okay, the numbers get smaller as you go to zero. Okay, so he's prophesizing. But at the same time, Yeshayahu, you know, basically what does Yeshayahu always do? If he gives you a patch on the punim, he also gives you a kiss on the kepi. That's Yeshayahu. Hidori, hidori, kumi Yerushalayim. Stand, right? Shake yourself free from your stupor, right? And by the way, I always thought that there's a direct connection between stupor, you know, stupor and what? Stupidity. It sounds like the same thing. All right? Shake yourself free.
Wait, did you say stupor?
No.
Stupor.
Stupor. S-T-U-P-O-R. You know what? It's a little bit like my first day in the Rav Shir, where the Rav spoke for 45 minutes about a cane.
A cane?
A cane. And how a cane can do this and a cane can do that. Cane. And I'm thinking, wow, look at all these things a cane can do. And then someone says to me, you know what a cane is? Because I looked at someone, I never knew a cane could do it. It's a Kohen. Oh. I spent my first 45 minutes learning to understand, you know, Litvisha Yiddish. So don't feel bad. It happens to the best of us. Okay, so at any rate, that's the idea. That awaken, awaken, okay? Rise, Yerushalayim, and that's what we have again. Hit orari, directly from Yeshayahu, okay? Now, the idea of kumi, which, by the way, is the next word, right? That's found in line 20. Kiva orech kumi ori, okay? So you can see the brilliance, really, the artistic brilliance and the spiritual brilliance of Rav Shlomo Alkavetz. It's inspiring when you learn it this way. So, rouse yourself, shake off that dust, the stupor that you're feeling. Kiva orech. Right? This is like ki what? Kiva mo eid. For you Shlomo fans. Okay? Right? That's what it's like. And what's this orech? So I'm thinking, what do you mean your light is coming? What kind of light are we talking about? So I remember in the beginning of Sefer Bereishit, right, Rashi talks about the idea that part of the original light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu released in the world would have been so bright that no one would be able to see, because all we have are human eyes, right? So what did Hashem do with part of that light? Put it away.
For later.
Who's going to see it later? The Tzaddikim.
Only the
Sadiqim? Well, now, ready?
I'm asking.
What does Yeshayahu describe the Jewish people as?
Sadiqim.
Kulam Sadiqim. Uh-huh. Right? After we do every parak and Pirkei Avot, uh-huh. Right? That's not what we say. Everyone's a Tzaddik. Okay? Just like, just ask any Jewish mother who has sons, every son's a prince. So, among the Jewish people, every Jew, all right, certainly by the time of the Messianic period, what? It's a tzaddik. And that's kiva orech. Your light's coming. It's the light of the Messianic time. It's the light of clarity. It's the light when you'll never have anyone, certainly among the Jewish people, going, well, you know, I'm Jewish, but I don't do mitzvot. Right? That's not for me. No. The light is going to shine on everyone. Okay? Everyone's going to see it. You're going to be Be'or Panecha. That's what we're talking about, like from Birkat Kohanim. You will not be able to avoid a palpable sense of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Messianic time. Kiva Orech. Right? Now you're getting a little excited, I hope, because it's very exciting. Kumi ori, shine on. Right? Rise up. The light should shine. And, you know, this kind of reminds me, again, like a Jewish comedian would do, you know, hello. Oh, you missed Hit Na'ari? You missed Hit Horari? Just in case you did. Uri Uri. Wake up. Okay, enough already. You've been sleeping too long. And that's really what it is. The Jewish people, in some ways, have been sleeping too long. And you know what we really need to do as a people? At least in part to bring Mashiach, we have to say Lamrot HaKol, like the founding of Israel. We have to say that on a spiritual level. We have to say there is nothing that's going to stand between us and Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're going to do whatever we can in our lives to help bring Mashiach. He may not come today, he may not come tomorrow, but he's going to come. That's Uri Uri. Wake up. Leave your spiritual slumber behind. And not only that, Shir Daberi. And sing a song. Now, what kind of song? You already know this. I'm feeding it to you directly. What song is it going to be? Is it going to be a Shir HaChadasha or a Shir Chadash? Remember? Shir Chadash. Right? It's the song of the Messianic time. Shir Daberi. Kvod Hashem, and the honor, the glory of Hashem, when we do that, Alayach Nigla. Now, the Alayach is either Yerushalayim, or again, the Jewish people in the feminine. Okay? In the feminine. By the way, if you can refer to the Klal Yisrael, right, as my friend Rav Richman Shlita always says, the Klal Yisrael. If you can refer to the Klal Yisrael in the feminine, what does that tell you about Judaism's perception of the feminine? That it's amazing. Okay? It's amazing. Take that, Betty Friedan. Okay, next. Lo Tevoshi. Okay, now we're up to verse 6. Now again, welcome to the wonderful world of Yeshayahu. I said to myself, Lo Tevoshi sounds so amazing. It's got to be somewhere from Tanakh. And again, it's Yeshayahu. And this time it's Perek Nun Dalet. Look at the next one. See, sort of like in the center of the page? It says Yeshayahu Perek Nun Dalet. It says, Al Tir'i. Don't be afraid. Ki Lo Tevoshi. You will not be ashamed. The Al Tikalmi, right? What do we have, of course, we have Lo Tevoshi, Lo Tikalmi, reversed from what we have in the Pasuk, right? I apologize, the same as the Pasuk. Lo Tevoshi, Lo Tikalmi. Same as the Pasuk, but slightly different. Instead of Al Tikalmi, we have Lo Tikalmi. Basically the same idea. Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed. Why? Because redemption is nigh. Okay. Now, we're not all the Chafetz Chaim. I'll admit publicly, I don't have a suitcase packed that says, you know, Mashiach or bust on it. I don't have it. Okay? He did. I'm not on his level. Okay? But every day, Im Koze Achaka Lo, I wait for him. I'm excited. I know he's coming any minute. Okay? So, Lo Tevoshi V'lo Tekami. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. Right? Don't be ashamed. You know it's going to happen. So let's get it right. Tish tochachi. Right? What? You know, it's frivolous. Why? Why are you so unhappy? Why are you so miserable? Umatahemi. Okay? And why are you busy groaning? Okay? You know, it's Rav Moshe Feinstein's, that's all once said, the worst thing that happened about a generation and a half ago, was when parents would say to kids, Shver Zayin Ein Yid. Okay?
It's great to be a Jew.
So, when a person heard that, so what did they say? No, so what do I need this for? Because they still had a Yiddish cup. Okay? So, you can never do that. So, Rav Shlomo Alkalbetz is saying, if you keep, borrow from the civil rights movement, right? If you keep your eyes on the prize, there's no reason to be downtrodden. There's no reason to groan. Because you know what? The Mashiach is going to come. The world will be different. Okay? Bach yachazu aniyami. That my all aniyami, all my afflicted. Aniyay is like inuyim from Yom Kippur, from Tisha B'Av, the same word. So all my miserable afflicted people until this point, Bach Yachsu. They're going to find refuge within you, Yerushalayim. What kind of Yerushalayim? A redeemed Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim now, as much as I love it, as much as you love it, as much as it's great to be at the Kotel, and so forth, Rabosai, the Kotel is not the Beit HaMikdash. And that's why we can still, intellectually, honestly, and spiritually still say, Uvanei Yerushalayim. Because the fact that at every street corner of their building, it's still not there. It won't be there till we have what? The Beit HaMikdash. Okay? Until, you know, I don't know if you remember the famous words, right? Kotel Biyadenu, 1967, June. Right? I don't know if you remember hearing that. I remember. Okay? So what we want to hear is not a Kotel Biyadenu, but a Mikdash Biyadenu. We want to have NASA suddenly say there's an unidentified flying object coming toward Earth, right? As Rashi says in the Gemara and Sukkah, the Beit HaMikdash is going to be lowered, right? It's going to come down, in so to speak, in fiery, but not fire like the fire that devours. But it's going to be what, like in when Moshe saw the burning bush.
It'll be that light,
right? It's going to be the ore coming, and it's going to come down. The longer I live, the more I'm sure this is the only way it's happening. Okay? Let's go weiter.
But it's not wrong that when we go to Yerushalayim and we stand in front of the fence, all that's left of the Beis
HaMikdash,
we shouldn't feel that it's not special.
100%.
Okay.
No, of course not. 100%. First of all, when it comes to anything spiritual, as long as it's not against halacha, anyone who tells you, it can't be against halacha. Anyone who tells you, oh, that's wrong, you really shouldn't do that. Pashnisht. Really? I'm sorry, I didn't know that you were God. Okay, that really should be your attitude. If you're doing something that is not against halacha, and it moves you spiritually, okay, and it can't bring you to negative thoughts that would undermine your belief in Kutcher Bricho, Gegos into hate. Don't let anyone, again, I'll borrow a line from the Civil Rights Movement. Don't let anyone turn you around. If that's what works for you, and it's not against halacha, it's beautiful. Okay? V'nivnata ir altila, the last part of verse 6, which is what? The idea that the city will be built on its hill, right? Such as Tel Aviv, the hill of spring. How many of you have seen, by the way, the pictures from the early 1900s when you had those people lined up in the middle of the desert? And what did they do? They took out tape measures. Okay? And they said, okay, over here is going to be a street. What do you want to call it? I think Dizengoff is a nice name. Okay? And over here is going to be this and this. And they're standing in the middle of the desert.
And they
were dreaming. And their dreams came true. V'nivnata ir altila. All right, we go weiter. Vahayu. Now, the next part, verse 7, is the only entrance on the stage of Lecha Dodi that Yirmiyahu makes. So even before we do that, let's look here in the one pasuk from Yirmiyahu. Everything else is Yeshayahu, except for the last part, which is Mishlei. So what does Yirmiyahu say? Lechein. Now, remember, Yirmiyahu was not a beloved prophet. In fact, he was murdered in the Beit HaMikdash, right? The thing about Yirmiyahu is that, as we would say in modern terminology, he had no boundaries. Okay, now that's really unpleasant, right, when you meet a person like that.
Was chutzpah?
No.
Just no boundaries.
No boundaries. In other words, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it, he said it. He just put it out there.
Gotcha.
Okay? He was never afraid. Okay? And he didn't care what the ramifications were. And that's why he wasn't exactly beloved. Mm-hmm. But that made him the perfect person to write Sefer Yirmiyahu and Megillat Eicha. And if you read Megillat Eicha seriously, if that doesn't frighten you, nothing in the world will. All right. What did he say? L'chein, kol ochlecha ye'achelu. All those who devour you, Yerushalayim, they themselves will be devoured. Really, the lashon is frightening, but we can appreciate it. V'chol tzarich kulam b'shvi yilechu. And all your adversaries, all of them, they're going to go b'shvi. Right? They're going to go into what?
Captivity.
Captivity. Just like you were in captivity, they're going in captivity. Right? Well, mida keneged mida. Vahayu. Now this is where the reversal comes. And you'll see what I mean by that when we go back to the text. Vahayu shol sayich l'meshisa. And those who have plundered you themselves will be plundered. V'chol bozazayich. Now, bozazayich is like, what word do we all know from Hebrew? Bizayon. And everyone who's embarrassed you, etein levayos. They themselves will become an embarrassment. They will be prey upon which you will benefit. So you can see this is not exactly your everyday happy kind of line. Okay, but set it like it was. With that in mind, let's go back to the Lecha Dodi piece. All right. We may not get finished. We'll finish, Lecha Dodi probably next week because I don't want to rush it. It's not reasonable to do that. It's too many beautiful things here. So it's Vahayu L'meshisa. All right. So Asayich, as you can see, is different. Those who have despoiled you, those who have plundered you, those who have made you miserable, all right, that is what's going to happen. They're going to be the ones who are going to be in the same role. V'rachaku kol mevalayich. Right? And with great distance will be anyone who, into this point, who has been boleya you. What's boleya? Boleya is to swallow. Right? Anyone who's tried to destroy you, right, to ruin you forever. Now, this is all well and good, but this is not exactly the happy note that you want to sing about on Shabbat. It says, comes Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, and he says, Vezemir, now that I said that, it's time for Yeshayahu. Okay, let's see. Yeshayahu. Okay, where it says, Yeshua Perek Samach Bet Hey. Okay. Now, this is almost verbatim what we have, here in our Pasuk. Uma sos chatan al kala, right? One of the most famous lines in Lecha Dodi. Kim sos chatan al kala, like a chatan rejoices over his bride. Okay, yasis alayich elokayach. Again, the Jewish people as the feminine, which gives you a sense. Like I said last week, for those of you who may remember, I said, what's good advice to a chatan? So, good advice to a chatan is always, by the way, who was created first, Adam or Chava?
Chava.
Right? Right? So Adam was created first. Who was created last? Chava. Oh, what do we know? Achron Chaviv. You better treat her pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And do the dishes.
And do the dishes. And do the dishes. Now, ready? And do the dishes. I've learned, I'm married long enough, without being asked. It's one thing to do the dishes. It's one thing to take out the garbage. It's another thing, like, what else can I do? Mm-hmm. Okay, then Mashiach is really here. Okay, so, umasos chatan akala. So that's what we have here in the Lecha Dodi, which is a beautiful idea. Kimsos chatan akala, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rejoice over us as a nation, as a groom rejoices over his bride. And as you all know, those are some of the most precious moments in the beginning, and then when you get to really know each other. And of course, what's the biggest secret of all that we all know? if a husband treats his wife like a queen, she will treat him like a king, and they'll love each other very deeply, and the love will continue. Admei Vesrim Shana, that's the greatest bracha that you can have. And what we want is that kind of intimacy, that kind of intimate relationship with Kodesh Brichu, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rejoice over us and will truly be his people. So this is part of the messianic vision. And Halavai Amen, B'merav Amen, we should all be zochet to have Mashiach.
Amen.